as we pray for these children, Heavenly Father, I thank you for every single person, little person that's here, Lord. I just pray that you bless them, protect them. And I pray that you help them as they go off into their time of kids' church. You help our leaders, our volunteers, that we are able to sow good seeds in good soil. Lord, let them grow up to be mighty warriors for you. Lord, I pray for their families, for people in their lives that have influence. Lord, I pray that you just let those people be good to them. And I just pray your protection over them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want you guys to turn around, greet someone new, shake their hand as we welcome Beth for announcements.
Well, good morning. We would like now for you to prepare to give your tithes and offerings. If you would look at the pews in front of you, you will find the offering envelopes. We would just ask that you would print clearly. We'd appreciate that. Also, in the pews, you will find the communication cards. You can fill them out with any updated information, inquiries, or prayer requests that you may have. We do have a prayer ministry that prays for your needs each week, so we do welcome your prayer requests. And if you are a first-time visitor here at KW Christian Fellowship, we welcome you. We would love you to fill out these communication cards as well so that we have a record of your visit. So if you would hang on to those communication cards for the first-time visitors, and you take that card in at the end of the service, you can go to the information desk in the foyer. We have a nice gift for you, and we hope that you enjoy your visit with us today. So if the ushers would now come forward. And we will pray. Father God, we just thank you for the abundance that you have blessed us with here in Canada. Lord, we have so much. And we thank you, Lord, for meeting our needs day in and day out. And Father, we ask that for what we give back to you, Lord, that you would multiply it for the advancement of your kingdom, that we would do good work here, be good stewards at KW Christian Fellowship. So, Lord, we ask your favor and your blessing over this offering and for each person here, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Okay, I just have a couple of announcements. First, I'd just like to mention again this Wednesday we have our KWCF Encounter Night. So we do welcome everyone to attend. It is a great night. We have prayer, we have worship, we have testimony, we have a great time of fellowship. And just want to make sure everybody feels welcome to come. That's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Also, the men's ministry has invited everyone to a Toronto Blue Jays game. However, today would be the last day that you can get your tickets. So if you are wanting to come, please look at the details in your bulletin and you can get in touch with Carlos Scrow and let him know that you are wanting to come so that these tickets can be purchased. For youth, there are youth events happening all summer long. And if you are wanting details, please go to the youth Facebook page and that is in the bulletin as well. Or to the website for details. I believe the next thing they're having is a pool party, but you have to be a youth, so. Okay. Next Sunday is our Cafe Connect. We are thankful to Andy and Susan who do this, give leadership to this. This is a wonderful time of fellowship, just a time to get together, refreshments, dessert, and chat downstairs between the first and second service. So everybody is welcome to that as well. And as you may notice, Pastor Ken and Larry are not here today. They're away with their families in New Brunswick. Larry's eldest son, Matt, was married last night. So they are traveling, so please pray for them for a safe trip back. And yes, so enjoy this morning's service. So David Nicolet is our speaker this morning, so let's warmly welcome him.
That's the entrance that I wanted right there. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Okay, well, let's just let it go, let it go. These words are actually really good. Here it comes.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry.
be happy. Okay, that's good enough. All right. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you, Beth, for doing the announcements. After 12 years of trying to push her to come to the stage, this is a breakthrough. Today's we make history, KWCF. So, Beth, you did a wonderful job. I actually already took a picture and sent it to Pastor Ken. So, he is probably just. I probably made his day even better. All right, so. Since nobody's around to speak, here I am, and I'm actually getting into this thing of speaking. You know, I'm getting better, I hope. And there's always something to say, but I don't want to say something that I don't live. So, whenever I share something with you, with the church, I always try to be authentic and share something that really is on my heart, something that I really live, and something that I really have learned. Through my 28 years of life, and about maybe out of those 28 minus 13, 15 years of being Christian, like committed Christian. So, just something that I've been, and this song actually it was on there on purpose. Not to just make my entrance so dramatic. I do want to speak about the topic of worrying. And it would have been cheesy to name the sermon, Don't Worry, Be Happy. I think it would have been cheesy, so I just gave it a different title. But basically, I just want to share a couple of verses with you from the Bible and just share a couple of things that I've learned from him. And I hope that God will speak to you as well through this word. So, Father, we just commit this time to you, and we pray that your word would just become real in our lives. These are the things maybe that we have heard before, and maybe we have read before. But, Father God, I just pray that your spirit would just make those words alive in our hearts again, that we would just be reminded of your love and your care for us. In your name I pray, amen. So when I was about 13 or 14, I decided was 13, I decided to get baptized and start become a committed Christian, and just I fell in love with God and Jesus, and I was really going through that period of just following God and doing His will. And then it took me a couple of years to realize some things, and these things that I'll be speaking to you about now are something that really there's those points in life that you experience and they really change your perspective on life. And there was this youth meeting I remember when I was about 16. We were in a youth meeting, and our youth pastor was actually, and those moments I actually mostly encountered in my youth meetings. So for those of you that are youth, you're not coming to youth, this is the time to come and just seek and understand. I don't know why I'm doing this stuff. It's just weird. So maybe I'm a little nervous, you can see. But I was 16, and I remember my pastor was speaking on this topic of do not be anxious. There's a verse in Philippians, which actually I just read that right now. Verse Philippians 4:6, it says this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I remember that moment when he said, be anxious for nothing. And he probably repeated that like 6 times. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And I remember that time I was just going through some things, you know, and just family issues and different things. And I remember just having this revelation. Be anxious. Why am I worried about this stuff? Like, why do I keep on worrying? Like, what am I accomplishing with just being anxious? And then once I realized that I'm really not accomplishing anything with being anxious and worrying about stuff, I just kind of let you know, that night I prayed and I asked God to just take away this worry and this anxiousness, and I don't want to live that kind of life anymore. I just want to live a life of trusting God. So that happened, that point happened, and ever since then, those of you that know me, those of you that don't, you'll get to know me and my story. But ever since then, I'm really a guy that's just kind of easygoing. I don't really worry much, you know. It's gonna work out, you know. Take it slow and easy. It's gonna come, and even if it doesn't work out, it's God's will. Just let it go. And you know, coming to Canada about 11 years ago, it was the same way. I came here with just one little bag of stuff. I didn't really have much. Going through the process of getting the visa, and that's also difficult back home, and all that stuff. I just never worried. My dad always used to say, "Don't worry, there, just pray." And I always used to just pray, and God would just open doors that I would never even in my life imagine would be opened. So I came here with nothing. Here I am with almost everything. I mean everything, even more than I need. But just this process of trusting God and just not worrying about stuff, not worrying about what am I going to eat and drink and all that stuff, things just kind of fall into place. So I won't be ashamed. I'll leave my testimony for maybe another time. I will be throwing a few things here and there about my life. But if you look at the Bible, and I always go to the beginning, God created human beings. And we were His crown, His beauty and majesty of creation. And when He created us, He put us in this jungle that had everything. There was everything was there. It was already taken care of. A human being did not have to worry about what they're going to eat. They were, as a matter of fact, they didn't have to worry about what they're going to wear. They were naked. There was no shame. There was none of that stuff. So they were just placed there. And God's initial plan for human beings was, don't worry. Everything is taken care of. Just enjoy the life and have a relationship with me. So what has happened, which we know the story, we rebelled against God, we went our own way, and we chose to worry. Instead of letting God worry for us and care for us, we actually started, you know, we started worrying, and then we got shameful, we put the clothes on, and ever since then, everything has just been, you know, because that trust was broken, and once you break the trust, it's really difficult to gain it back, sort of. And once that trust was broken between us and God, and we just kept on working in our own strength, in our own way, in our own effort, and that's when we do things in our own effort, in our own strength, we oftentimes find ourselves anxious, stressful, worried. If you look at Jesus, He was not superhuman. I mean, He was God, but He was also 100% human. And example of Him just living His life, he felt the pain. You know, He went through things that and He felt the sorrow. He had His sad times, but you can always see it. Jesus, look at Jesus, and you can look at His life, and He was always praying and trusting God for things. So this passage that I'll read is very known. It's from the Sermon on the Mount, and often, probably those of you that have been Christians for a while, those of you that haven't, this is probably the best portion of Bible to read in Matthew 6, 5, 6, and 7, but let's just focus on the chapter 6 and just read these verses. Before I do read them, I do want to say that I used to be a really anxious guy. Before the 16, in my teenage years, I was always worried about what's going to happen. What's going to happen with my family, my parents, with my brothers and sisters, and what's going to happen with my future. And I was waking up with the worry, and what's going to happen, and what if this, and what if that. And oftentimes when we ask that question, what if, we find ourselves anxious and worrying. So it does sound almost impossible to live a life of free of worry and free of anxiousness. But I can tell you one thing. If you trust God and if you rely on God and if God is your Father, it's possible. 100%. Now, the way I look at the worry and anxiousness is this. Worry is like putting your car in neutral. I don't know if you've ever done that. I did a couple of times when I was learning how to drive. Put it in neutral and then you do and rev the engine. and you go, and the car is not moving. Have you ever done that before? Anybody ever done that before? All the drivers? You're like, what's going on? And then you realize, oh, wait a second, it's in neutral. So you put it in neutral, and you can try this. Just don't try it for too long, because I'm not going to be paying any bills. Put it in neutral and just, you know, see if something happens. So what happens? You burn the oil, you burn the gas, you drain the engine, you just kill your car, right? Isn't that what happens with the car when you leave it in neutral? So you'll kill the car eventually if you keep doing it. And eventually, if you keep worrying and keep worrying and keep worrying and keep being anxious and keep worrying, you're going to kill yourself. Not physically, but something is going to happen. So by research, it's been proven, actually, the number one killer in the world is heart disease, heart failure. If you Google it, you'll see it's the heart failure. And usually the heart failure caused by high blood pressure, anxiety and worry and depression and stress. So that's basically what kills people nowadays. Physically kills them. Stress and anxiety. They're on the top of the list of all these deadly emotions. Now, I want to emphasize one more thing. The devil's greatest weapon is this. To make you worry and to make you anxious. And it will literally steal your joy. It will steal your contentment. It will steal your happiness. And if you ever found yourself in that situation, you become so wrapped up in about what's going to happen tomorrow, or maybe what has happened yesterday, that you completely forget about the blessing and the peace of today that God has given us. And Jesus teaches us different. So let's just try to see what Jesus has to say about this mystery of worry. Are you guys ready to hear this? Good. Jesus says, I want to take away this mystery of worry, because he lived in a world that we live in, pretty similar, and he was surrounded with people just like you and I. They were worrying about life and food and all that stuff. And when he launched this idea about worry, he launched this conversation about money. Okay. We won't be reading all the verses. I might just mention maybe one, but it's all about treasures and all that stuff, and then it goes into this. Now, let's just read this, and then we'll just continue on. Matthew 6, if you have your Bibles, or your iPhones, or Blackberries, if you're old school. 6:24. Through 34. Sorry if I didn't mean to hurt anyone by saying that. I apologize. So Matthew 6:24 through 34. These are the verses, very, very known verses from the Bible. So here we go. Okay, we'll start at 24. So no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is money. Therefore, I say to you, and here it is, do not worry about your life. How simple is that? Jesus comes and tells you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. If somebody probably came up to you, you're like worried, you're just going through stuff, somebody goes, hey, don't worry. You probably just slapped them right across the face. Not worry. What are you talking about? Jesus just says, don't worry about your life. You know, you don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And is not body more than clothing? Jesus says, I know what you're worrying about. I know exactly what you're thinking right now. But let's just continue on. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Just go on. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now, can you by worrying, it's just a simple question, by just worrying about things, can you create certainty? Can you change something? Jesus says, the worry will not get you anywhere. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Or you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, and sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So here's a solution that Jesus gives you when you start to worry. And maybe this is so simple, but I challenge you to do this week. Okay, I really do challenge you to do this because it will change your life for better. This is what Jesus says. Look at the birds. Look at the birds. And we just have a few pictures to show there. But just look at the birds. Now, because we have ability, we have technology, to show, I can show you the birds right away. We don't have to go into the nature. But look at the birds. Wow. Look at the beautiful birds. I know we got a couple of bird lovers in this room. But just look at the birds. Wow. Now, I'm not even sure if you ever done this. Did you ever do this? Did you ever go to park? I go to park with my kids all the time. There's actually birds there. And I did. I just sit on the bench and just stare at the birds. And there's little squirrels just going around, and you might find a couple of skunks. But just look at them. It's Canada, right? Just look at the birds. I don't know about you, but there's something amazing about, like, who feeds these? Like, they need to live, they need to eat, right? I mean, to survive, every living being, they need to eat something, right? How do they survive? How do they survive in the winter? How many times have you wondered? You look through the window, right, and it's like minus 60 outside, right? And it's like snowing, and everything is snowing, and you like shiver, and it's like plus 30 in your house, and you're still like freezing, and you look outside, and you see like this little squirrel just like passing by. You're like, how do these creatures live? Where do they find food? What, like, it's mind-boggling if you actually think about these things. Well, let me tell you something. God created them, so God worries for them. So you don't have to worry. You just have to worry about yourself. So, very simple solution, isn't it? Just look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Look at all these things. Now, did you know that you are more precious and more valuable than birds? Did you know that? Did you ever come to a realization in your life that you are more loved than that skunk? Or that deer? Or whatever other animal that you can encounter in the wild, those little bugs, and God loves you more than them. Okay, and if you look at, how do we know that? We know that because Jesus, God Himself, He came as a human. If God loved birds more, I'm pretty sure Jesus would come through a bird. Although that would be really weird, but God loves humans. He created us. We were the top of His creation, the glory of His creation, and He loves us more than any other creatures. Okay? He loves you more. So Jesus comes and He says, do not worry. So He's actually commanding us. He's forbidding us to worry. He says, don't worry. I don't know why you worry so much. And Jesus' commands are usually meant to keep his followers from getting hurt. Because worry does hurt. It affects people, it affects relationships. Oftentimes you'll find yourself, if you worry about something, it affects just your overall life. It strangles people, it chokes them, it affects even their sleep. Not even sure if you ever, you probably weren't able to sleep sometime. Back in the day, you used to just, you know, look at the ceiling. And usually when you can't fall asleep, you're looking at the ceiling and it's dark in the room, you know you're worrying about something. When people say, oh, I wasn't able to sleep, then I just ask them, what were you worrying about? What's up? So, you know, it leads to a lot of, it destroys the faith and it leads to a lot of trouble. So Jesus provides these few prescriptions in this, just a simple text, of how to live a worry-free life, and it's possible. And it does require our attitude, our just life adjustment, and our change of perspective on life. And only God can do that. In verse 24:5, he says, therefore, and Jesus says, what we decide with treasure, with condition, and what we decide with who we serve in these verses here, it will turn out, it will actually determine whether we are warriors, whether we are anxious, or whether we are worshipers. And there's two things that you can do when you encounter something, when you encounter a problem, and when you encounter a situation that you can worry about. There's two things that you can do in life. Okay, just two things. Two W's, I call them. I came up with this. Am I not a genius or what? Worry or worship. You can only do two things. Okay? You can either worry about it and think about it and be anxious and let it steal your joy and your peace. Or you can just worship God and trust God that He's going to take care of it. Just those two things. Worship and trust God. So, we want to experience this kind of life, don't we? Do you not want to experience this kind of life? So, then we have to prefer those earthly treasures first, okay? We have to go after heavenly treasures first. Because earthly treasures, that was a typo, okay? We have to look after the heavenly things first. Because those things are those things that will actually help us live a worry-free life. Because all the things in this world are not worth worrying about. They're not worth. We have to choose whether we want to live according to God's revelation or whether we want to live according to our own revelation, and whether we want to trust God or whether we want to trust us and our abilities. Here are just two simple truths I want to share with you before we close that I've gotten from this text. The first one is, worry exhibits lack of trust in God, our Heavenly Father. That's what the worry does. So when we trust God, we don't worry. But when we worry, you obviously don't trust God. When you're anxious, you obviously don't really show too much worship and trust towards God. So worry will say, I have a problem, and I really don't think God can take care of it. I really don't think God can carry me through it. That's what the worry says. Okay? And by worrying, we actually are calling a God who is our Father a liar. We're saying, God, you know, I know that you can keep the sun in the orbit. I know that you can answer the prayers. I know that you can do all these things. I know that you can sustain life on this earth. But I just, you know, about this problem, I just don't trust you. I feel like I have to worry about it. I feel like I have to just be anxious about it. Now, twice in this text, Jesus points to the Heavenly Father as the only reason to not worry about this life. He says to worry and have a Heavenly Father is just doesn't make sense. It's inconsistent. It doesn't work together. If you're a Christian and you're a child of God
and you have a father that's in heavens, and I know this relationship, and some of you are parents, and you know the relationship that you have with your kids. When they trust you, when you trust them, this trust, you know, they know that they have you. They count on you. So it's the same thing with us. You know, we have a father, and he's in heavens, and he cares for us. He loves us more than any other creature. And I can tell you from my own experience that worry is useless. It's a futile exercise. It's a total waste of time. And I know this seems really easy to say, okay? It does really seem easy to say. But it's true. You're wasting your time, your life, your days by worrying and being anxious about things. Why? Because God worries for you. And he's your father, and he cares for you. And Jesus says, you will not prolong your life. You're not. In fact, it will shorten your life. You're going to shorten your life by worrying. You're going to be, you know, we're just saying all the heart diseases and stuff. You're gonna kill your life by worrying. So those that are followers of Christ who need to rediscover the Father God, should trust him. And he's not like some of the earthly fathers. You know, there's some fathers that are absent and uncaring and not present. God is the Father who's always present. He's always there for us. And he never leaves us. So, second thing that I've learned is that worry hinders your witness. In verse 32, he says, for all these things the Gentiles seek. Basically, if you are worrying, if you're anxious, if you're being anxious about life and things, you're acting as an unbeliever. You're acting as an atheist. You're acting like the one who does not even profess faith or trust God or call himself Christian. You're just acting opposite of that. So, why? Jesus says, you know, you're gonna rub shoulders with these people. You're gonna go through this life and you're gonna rub shoulders with people that have the same problems, they're dealing with same things, just like you are. Okay, earthly things, things of this life. But your response just says you're different. We are different. This is where really the border is drawn from the Gentiles, from the Christians and non-Christians. We are different. We're different from this world. So he says, you know, your response, you have all these same problems, but our response as Christians should actually be so different that it amazes them. It makes them question, how are you not afraid? Why don't you seem to be anxious? You know, we should wow them by not responding the same way as they would to just regular life situations. So Jesus says, this is your opportunity. This is our opportunity as Christians to shine like never before. This is your time. With your non-Christian friend at work or school or whatever your unchristian friends are, this is your opportunity to shine, to show them that you have a father that cares for you, and you don't have to worry about if you work at BlackBerry or used to work at BlackBerry, you know, and everybody's worried about, oh, we're gonna get all laid off. You don't have to worry. Your response should be different. God cares for me. He's gonna provide. He's gonna care for me. So I don't know what's up with all these BlackBerry jokes. I'm sorry. So if you get sucked in this life of worry, Jesus says you won't leave a mark. You're just gonna be as same as those Gentiles, as those non-Christians. You're just gonna lose your witness. That's gonna be it. But here's our opportunity to shine brighter than before. because we all have the same circumstances. We're all going through the same thing. Some have harder things that are going through, but we have to know this. We have a Father. We have a Father that's in heavens. Amen? So what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Father knows that you need these things, Jesus says. He knows. Now, do we really believe that our Heavenly Father knows these things? Do we really believe that with all our heart? So, if we really believe that, imagine this. You are now going through this, and maybe some of you this morning, and you're worried about something, okay? And you're worried, and you're sitting there, you're just worried, what's going to happen, what's going to happen? And this angel of God just appears to you in your room. And this angel of God just says, just one thing, God knows. Would that change anything? Would that make you think? Would that give some release? If you were just in a room, an angel appeared and says, God knows. He's on it. So for some of us, I think, you know, sometimes we need that angel to come and slap us and tell us God knows. But you don't need an angel to slap you, okay? You just need to know that God knows. He knows. So if He knows, why do you worry? He's on it. It might take some time. You might have to build some patience. But it's all going to work out. And if it doesn't work out, that's how I see it. It's God's will. And it's perfect. Because His will is always perfect. Sometimes we think that some things, you know, well, if I only had that job, maybe that job would take you somewhere that you want to be. If you only had this, or if you only had that career, this and that. God knows, and He cares. So, more we believe and more we have faith, smaller our worry will be. Jesus gives us a really simple solution, doesn't He? He said, here's something that we can do about worry. Here's an alternative. Instead of worrying, here's a plan two that Jesus gives us. Plan B. He says, pursue my kingdom first, but first. Make my kingdom your central priority. Make it your dream. Make it your ambition. Make it everything. So the issue is here, we have to redirect our devotion. We have to seek first His kingdom. Seek first. And you've read this probably 100 times, and maybe you've heard this 100 times. But this is what Jesus is saying. What you have been seeking is the wrong thing. If you worry, what you've been seeking is not the right thing. That means that you have to redirect your devotion and you have to seek God first and His kingdom. You have to worship first. You have to trust first. And then everything else is just going to work out on its own. You've been devoted to the wrong thing, and you need to transfer your devotion. Jesus wants our total devotion. When we decided to follow Jesus, we actually said, you know, I'm reading off my own life, my own desires, my own ambitions, and I'm following Jesus. And there's a song that says, Christ is enough, and Christ is enough. He really is enough. We don't need anything else. Sometimes we get trapped in this lie, thinking that we need stuff, we need more and more and more, but we don't. Because this life is going to be gone in a moment. And then 100 years from now, if you just think about the 100 years from now, where you will be, and how things will turn out. And you look back like, why was I worrying? Why was I anxious? So, Jesus wants our total devotion. He wants His agenda for the world. He wants us to put our agenda second, okay? He wants us to worry about His business first. And this prayer that He taught us, that says, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done. That's the prayer that we should live our life by. That's the prayer that that really is a central turning point in our life as Christians, in our life, in your life, in your world, in your marriage, in your career, in your schooling, in whatever you're going through. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. So to accept Jesus' challenge is to pray this way. Yes, Jesus, you know that I have to get a job, and you know, Jesus, that I have to sell this house and do this and do that, and you know, Jesus, this has to really fall through, but thy will be done, not mine. You know, Jesus, that, you know, we're struggling and this and that, and there's bills to be paid and all the stuff that we're going through, but Jesus, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. That's the prayer that Jesus wants us to pray every time when we get anxious about when there's something that comes into our life. So God knows how important it is to get somewhere, to accomplish something, to do something, but his will and his kingdom is first. And once we take care of God's business, I'm sure that God is going to take care of our business. Once we seek him first, he's going to look after us. So no matter what happens at the end of every day, we know what we believe. And at the end of the day, we sincerely want God's will to be done. That's what we want to desire. And that's the heart that I really believe we should all have as Christians, as children of God. Because this peace that is from above, peace that is just, that comes from above, it is this peace. Nothing has changed. Nothing changes when you receive this peace from above. I'm not sure if you ever experienced that. But when you pray, you receive this peace. The situation hasn't really changed. Your heart has changed, right? You have changed inside. You receive this beautiful peace from God. So that peace God wants us to have daily. He wants us to live by that peace. He wants us to walk in that peace. He doesn't want us to worry. He doesn't want us to be anxious. So worry is an attitude of unbecoming the child of God. And I can tell you and I can assure you that worship and trusting God is way better than anxiousness and worry. We have to make that decision. We need to put our trust in the Father that's in heavens. And we need to pursue the right ambition. We need to pursue his kingdom first. And I can assure you, if you do that, that you will be greatly rewarded. God is going to reward you with things that you will not even. In my own life, as I say, I'm going to share this, my testimony, some other time. But in my own life, I can assure you, and I can just standing here and just talking to you, God will look after you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about anything. Just remember his faithfulness and his promises. And here's just a couple promises from the Bible. I don't even have the verses. I just kind of, from my head, just kind of threw them out there on the screen. But let's just read this. I'm going to read these real quick. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And there's another promise in the Bible. We can just go through those. All things work together for the good of those that love God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Just go on. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. God created the heavens and the earth. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Amen? These are just a couple of promises. There's so many of them. Just read your Bibles. But this is what God wants us. He wants us to have this new attitude. He wants us to trust him just like the birds. And those wildflowers. And there's a little analogy. I just had it here somewhere. Said the wildflower to the sparrow, to the bird. He says, I'd really like to know, why those anxious human beings worry so much? Why do they rush? And this sparrow, this bird, responds to this wildflower and says, I think it must be because they have no Heavenly Father like you and I do. See, just a change of perspective. Look at the birds. It's a good practice. Look at creatures. And then know that God loves you more than any of those birds and creatures. Amen. Just stand and just close in prayer. And I'm not even sure what you come with and the worries and things that you've been going through. But as we close in prayer, my prayer for you is that God will give you this new heart, heart of trust and heart of surrender and worship to God. Because that's the key. That's what makes us different. So Father God, just close our eyes. Father God, I pray that today, this morning, you make this word alive in our hearts. And I pray, Father God, that we would just completely surrender our lives to you, to our Father in heavens. Because, Father God, you've given us promises already. We know that you love us more than anything else. And we know, Father God, that you care for us, that you worry for us. So therefore, we don't have to worry. We don't have to care. We don't have to be anxious. We just have to trust you. We just have to surrender to you and know that you will work it all for good. So Father God, every single heart in this room this morning, I pray that you would bless with the new blessing. You just bring this new nature that's already been there, Father God. Renew it with your Holy Spirit, Father God, and may that just be a testimony, Father God, to everyone that they are different, that they know that you care for them and you care for everybody else. Father God, we just surrender to you this morning and we ask you to give us the assurance of your love and of your fatherhood. Thank you, Daddy. We love you so much. And we worship you. In your name we pray. Amen.